So I'm just wondering, who here likes the middle of things? Okay, maybe the middle of stories, the middle of movies. I personally like the middle TV show, quite funny. But there's these little things called Oreos. That normally, what do we got to do? Eat the middle first, right? All right. There we go. Got my middle started. So as we gather today, we're going to take a time and look at a courageous young woman. A young woman that was a Jewish orphaned young woman. She had much to be sad about from her past. She was blessed with good looks and a captivating personality, and she was chosen to become queen. We'll look a bit at the beginning of her story, and we'll look a little bit at the end, but we'll find ourselves focused in the middle. And I do encourage you this week, as you read, as you take time to pray and read God's word, check out Esther's story in the book of Esther. As we look at this today, we're going to have a main focus as well. The courage is an expression of our faith in action. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We can find that in Joshua 1:9. So as I said, we're going to look back a little bit here. Okay? As we look at, we're looking at the whole book. So we got 10 chapters of Esther that we're looking at. And don't worry, we're not going to be here until 10 tonight, okay? We're going to condense that down. But just looking at here, the time that we're looking at is a time of a country called Persia. And Persia was considered the greatest, most influential nation of its time. It was seen as wealthy, beautiful, peaceful. It was a place of plenty. And the Jews a few generations back had been captured during war and came to live in Persia. And now they were just living among the people. They were part of the kingdom. We find that in the book of Esther, God is not mentioned. There's a couple of different reasons that are thought to why that is. But some of the reason is that there's question as to where the Jews really stood at that time. That were they truly, wholeheartedly following God? There's not really any mention of him throughout it during then. But what we do see is that these people put their faith into action. So maybe they were just going among the flow with all the Gentiles, but they were keeping true to their Jewish roots and rituals. So we find ourselves here in this palace. And in this palace, the story of Esther starts that there is two huge celebrations going on. The celebrations are happening for the king and for the queen, and this speaks of wealth for the country, because it would not be very common for a king and a queen to be having a celebration at this time. And so the king, in front of all of his noble officials, he says, I want my wife, the queen, to come and join us here. I want to show you how beautiful she is. And the queen says, no, I'm not doing that. So, order up. One new queen was needed. Because the officials all said, there's no way that we can have her setting an example for all the other wives in the kingdom, because that's going to be a threat to all of us husbands. So, Hadassah is able to enter the scene. She is that orphaned Jewish girl that was raised by her cousin Mordecai, who became like her father figure. And Mordecai thought that it'd be great, since Hadassah, you are beautiful, you got great personality, we can take you and we're going to go and you can be among those who will be selected to become queen. So she agrees to go along and set up to that, you know, the Persian time bachelorette, and goes forth and goes, and Mordecai says, no, wait a minute, though. You can't go as yourself. You got to go undercover. You got to go undercover, and we're going to give you a new name. We're going to give you the name Esther, because Esther speaks to the people that you're going to be going to try and be accepted by. So Esther actually meant star. And that was referring to the goddess of love and the planet Venus. So Mordecai, so we're looking at this in the beginning of the story. It's still going on. Mordecai, we find him at the city gates, and he uncovers a conspiracy. So now we've gotten the queen in. She's been accepted. She's welcomed by the king. She is loved and favored by all. And here's her father figure, Mordecai, making a spectacle of himself. Excuse me. He's finding himself in a place of learning of some news that some officers were plotting to kill the king. So he let that truth come out. Everything was handled. It was recorded. And the men were killed. The report was done, and life went on. But then he goes on to make another spectacle of himself, and he refuses to bow down to the prime minister of the country, the second man to King Xerxes. And he finds his response has not only affected him, but the entire nation. Hence, we see Mordecai weeping and in sackcloth. That prime minister was Haman. The king had ordered those of the kingdom to bow down and honor Haman. But Mordecai said, no, I'm not going to have anything of that. So once again, got to remove the threat. This angered Haman, and he made a plan to not only get rid of Mordecai, but also the entire nation of the Jews. And he paid money to the king. A law was written that could not be changed. So here we are, a new queen, a man that was her cousin, somewhat like our father figure, who stands up for his convictions, an angry man of power, and God's people in danger of death. So as I said, we're going to jump ahead here, and we're going to be coming back. So we jump ahead at the end of the story, and we find that the Jews have been taken care of. They were given all they wanted, and Queen Esther is sought by the king to give counsel, and her and her husband get to write a new law. Her cousin get to write a new law that protected their people. Along with that same cousin got recognition for the good that he had been doing and how he had protected and saved the king at different points. And he was made second to the king. And they all lived happily ever after. Okay? And so many times we think about that. They all live happily ever after. But how did they really all get there? So now we're going to back up a little bit. Let's set up some camp here. And we're going to have somebody explain for herself what it was like. She is now a few years into that position. I'm sure she's gotten used to everyday kind of life, what they're doing, and taking on the responsibilities that she needs to take on. And so here we are in chapter 4. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, that'd be great. We're going to kind of summarize 1 through 11 and focus on 12 through 17. And so the chapter, once again, opens up with Mordecai at the city gates. Okay? Here he is in sackcloth, which was an expression of grief, and there's trouble going on, and he was amongst all the other Jews because they had just heard about the new law that was just put out that was going to be against them. So here he is. Queen Esther gets word of this, and she tries to send one of her middlemen to go out to her father figure, Mordecai, out at the city gates, and to give him some clothes to try and encourage him to come into the castle so he could come and share with her what is going on. And he was not eligible to come into the kingdom if he was wearing sackcloth because of the sign of grief, and the king would have nothing to do with any sadness and things that were going on. So she tries to do this, to send him, Alpha to come in and see her, and he says, no. He says, I want you to go back. So the middleman's got to go back and tell Esther again, no, he's not coming in, but this is what he did let me know of what's going on, and that there has been this law that has been written against you and your people. And the fear starts to set in, and the concern and the worry starts to set in. And that's when Esther says, look, I cannot go before the king. If he doesn't summon me, if he doesn't call me, then I could be putting my own life online, and you know that. So I kind of thought Mordecai's response might have been like, well then, because remember back, Esther was okay with a name change, and she was going okay with going undercover. But this time she questions, what in the world are you thinking, Mordecai? You got to be crazy. So for such a time as this, we got to make the most of it. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, okay, and he sent back this answer to her, Because we're hearing this conversation that's going on. There's this middleman who's bringing the messages back and forth to each of them. And he says, do you not think for a moment, because you were in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, but maybe you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Just saying. So, Esther has this opportunity at hand. There's not a whole lot of time to really think about or what to do. And this opportunity at hand can bring us to a passage in Ephesians that says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. She chose to make the most of this situation, and within moments, she took action. Okay. So this is my first time of sharing with a lot of you my side of our adoption journey. And I couldn't help but think of how this part of the story really connected with what was going on with Esther just by saying yes to be a part of something, but not really sure what the outcome was going to be at times. And so as many of you know, we did adopt a 14-year-old girl when our daughter was 11. And as many of you know, that she is no longer in our home. But the beauty is now that we do have a relationship that's been reestablished with her, and that's going really well. But I want to back up to the middle of that. In the middle, there were days where, like, I just wanted to give up. And I just really felt like, God, what in the world did you get us into? What did you allow us to be a part of? Because this is really, really, really hard. And this is supposed to be a good thing to open your doors and open your hearts to welcome somebody in to be a part of your family. And it was extremely difficult. I remember at one point, I came over here to the church because I just felt such a tension and such heaviness over our home so often that sometimes I just needed to kind of, just kind of catch my breath. And I remember coming over and just literally crumpling in the bathroom here at church and just crying out, God, you got to help me here because this is really hard and I don't know what to do about this. We said yes, but I'm watching everything fall apart around me. I'm watching our daughter, who comes from such a safe, happy, you know, environment, to welcoming in somebody new to get to know and try and build a relationship with, and trying to gel a family of three into a family of four. And Emily just so challenged with just trying to make sense of just all the challenges that were going on, especially because she knew we were doing a good thing. And so through lots of meetings and lots of therapy that we all had at different points, we just knew. I mean, Jeff and I knew that we had to hold on to us as a couple and journey through and ultimately hold on to our Heavenly Father and continue to lift up our girls, lift up our situation, and just hold on tightly to the faith that we said yes to, but we didn't know that it was going to be so difficult. And so I even remember at times just crying out to God and laying my hands on Courtney's bedroom door and being, Lord, just please heal her. I know she's had a hard time, and I know that this is all because of you healing her and working in her life. But Lord, it's still hard. So I can kind of get Esther here. That when she's a bit inquisitive, she kind of went along with the flow of just what Mordecai did and following God as she knew as the people, you know, that she came from. But I can imagine that she kind of, you know, like I said earlier, that she was like, I left my home, I left my safe place. I've established a life here, and I'm living as queen, and now you want me to go further, even into a scarier place. Okay? I felt like that saying yes to our adoption at times. I knew that there would be challenges, but I didn't know that it was going to be as difficult as it was. But I know that we saw God, and he grew us and changed us a lot through all of that. So now we get to roll into Esther's response. Okay, 15:16 says, then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king. And even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. So I love to see here that Esther went from just a pretty face to a conquering little warrior there. It was pretty awesome. And to think that she said, gather together all of the Jews. So what she really was doing was there was bringing others in and letting God do the work. Two are better than one, because you have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls down and has no one to help them up. So as I said, we sought God through our adoption journey. We requested for others to pray for us and with us. In addition, we received help from the authorities of the adoption and the foster system. And once again, today is Courtney is growing in her faith and hopeful for a future. And we have our daughter Emily, who's attending Cabrini College now, and she's taking social work and psychology that I really believe was a part of that journey. So God has done some great things in spite of a lot of the heartache that was in the midst of that. So as we wrap up chapters 4-6, Esther's plan got into action. Okay? And Haman got what he wanted, recognition, but not of good, but death for all his wrongdoings. So how can we apply this to our lives? We can do things in our own strength, or we can rely on God. And courage responds with yes. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James 4:8. God will give you the strength to live for him. It takes courage to say yes. When we say yes to one thing, sometimes it means we got to say no to another. So what have you been asked to say yes to, but fear that there's some things in the way, okay? That might be a lack of experience or a lack of knowledge or skills or someone's response. Maybe it's the reminder that the last yes you said was very difficult. So what are you going to do with that? What are we going to do with that? I know for me, you know, I had to put that fear and that concern and that heartache aside. And yes, there was a time of healing for my heart as a wife, as a mom, as a woman. But I know now that God has done some great things through all of it, and he was with us all along. So I had to learn that courage does respond with trust. It responds with trust. So if I'm going to say yes again, then I got to keep on trusting. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So just as Esther being called according to his purpose at that particular time for her to be queen, each one of us here in this room has been called to a specific time in this generation. We've been called to be the people in the places that we are, in the families that we are a part of. And so sometimes that response to trust may be in our marriages or with our children, when we feel as if we've tried all we can do and we just got to stand and wait for God. Maybe it's in our school or our job, when we have a very difficult teacher or a peer or a boss or a coworker that we got to work alongside of every single day. Maybe you're in a place that you've been involved in a lot of really great things, good things, but now you've been challenged that are some of these things the best things of what I'm to be a part of? And that courage to say yes to the best may mean that you got to let go of the other things and that could require trust. God will show you, though, that he's got it all handled. Courage is an expression of our faith in action. Have I not encouraged you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We're going to listen to a song that I actually just got to hear this past Friday, and when I heard it, I just was like totally blown away. It spoke so much to my soul and had almost every element of what I believed that I was, that God was impressing upon my heart to share with you today, and what I know that I needed to hear from my own heart. And I thought maybe you might need to hear this message too. So please pay attention to the words as we look at the screen. It's a lyric video of a new song by Natalie Grant called Be One. And may you allow God to speak to your heart. So we can remember, from Esther, for such a time as this, there is a reason for the position that God has placed you, placed me, in our homes, in our work, in our school, in our community, in our communities. So the question is, will we let our faith be bigger than our fear? Will we accept opportunities given to us or let someone else take our places? Will we choose to hold on tight to Jesus in the midst of crisis? Will we humble ourselves to trust him and invite others to join in the beauty of being a star in this generation? Will you join me by standing and having the courage that responds with yes and trust to help a hurting world with the message of Jesus and being people that truly follow him? Awesome Heavenly Father, we just come before you. And Lord, I ask you that you would give us the strength and the courage to be one, because that's all it starts with. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to move through our fears, move through our anxieties, and have the courage that relies upon you and walks in your truth. And Father, I pray for those who are here today who maybe this message is new for them. Maybe just even the thought of saying yes to you is new. I pray that, Lord, that you would move them to the place that they can walk with you and say yes. Because God, you are an awesome God. And we thank you, Lord, that in spite of us, you are always at work. But Lord, you have invited us to be a part of something great of what you're doing in this world, in this time, for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen.